I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. Thousands of H-1B visas are issued each year. They allow US companies to hire foreign workers for specialised positions that they can't fill with American workers. Some companies say the quota for these visas is too low, and the tech industry especially needs more freedom to hire talent from overseas. But others say there are loopholes in the system that are being exploited. Recently, the New York Times reported on layoffs at Disney World, where IT workers were told to train their replacements, Indian IT workers, on H-1B visas. I'll talk to Julia Preston from the New York Times about her reporting. I'll also talk to the CEO of a Central Florida tech startup. And I'll ask Congressman John Micah about the politics of the visa debate. That's ahead on Intersection. Early this month, the New York Times reported on layoffs at Disney in the story it titled Pink Slips at Disney, but First Training Foreign Replacements. Reporter Julia Preston wrote that about 250 employees at Disney World in Orlando were let go, but first the IT workers trained their replacements, immigrants, on temporary H-1B visas. Well, joining me now from the New York Times to talk about her reporting is Julia Preston. She's the national immigration correspondent for the Times. Julia, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Disney employs thousands of people in Orlando, and in comparison, 250 layoffs doesn't seem like a lot. So what was it that interested you about this story?
The story interested me because I'm the national immigration correspondent, and this was a situation where these workers were laid off from jobs that existed, and they were directly replaced by foreign workers who were brought in by an outsourcing company. And as a condition of their severance, a number of these Disney employees had to train their replacements. And I have been covering immigration long enough to know that that is certainly not the intent of the particular temporary visas that were probably in play in that situation. Those visas, the intent of those visas is that they are not designed to bring workers who will replace Americans or displace Americans. And that seemed to be what was happening in this situation.
So is a loophole in the legislation that allows companies to do this?
Yes, there is a loophole that allows companies to do this, although it's not entirely clear that there wasn't some violation of the law in this case. But in general, these things happen because the law is written in a way that the intent of the law is that the companies have to recruit for Americans before they reach out to a foreign worker, and they are not supposed to use the foreign worker to displace an American who already has a job. But in practice, when you get down to the fine print, there's no requirement that either of those things happen. And so they do happen. As it turns out, the reason that there was such a reaction to my story is that it is happening on a very large scale in the United States, exactly this type of thing.
If you say it's happening elsewhere on a pretty wide scale, how long has it been happening?
I think it's been going on for a long time, much longer than I realized, even though I'm the immigration correspondent. I got overwhelming response from readers around the country to this. In the particular situation of Disney, I think we need to say two things. First of all, no one can take away from Disney its prodigious record for job creation in Orlando. You're there. You see it. This is a company that has created many, many thousands of jobs. So no one is criticizing that record or trying to take away from that record. What happened in this situation was that for the first time, they apparently for the first time, or an early example of a new practice by Disney, they made a decision to lay off an entire technology unit and essentially turn that work over to an outsourcing company. In this case, there were two outsourcing companies. One is called HCL America, and the other is Cognizant. Both of these companies rely extensively on highly skilled or supposedly highly skilled technology workers that they bring primarily from India. And in this case, a number of those workers were actually brought from India and made to sit next to the Disney employees at the computer terminals that were used by these Disney employees, and the Disney employees had to train those workers to do their jobs. It was, I think, probably one of the first times that Disney did this, and it was clearly an example of an American being displaced by a foreign worker.
Is this common with other companies that might be using the H-1B visa in this way?
In my story, I wrote about three other companies. One was Fossil in Texas.
The watch manufacturer?
It's a watchmaker, yes. They make accessories and watches. A company that's gotten into a fair amount of hot water over this is Southern California Edison, SCE. It's a big power utility in Southern California. And they also did pretty much the same thing, which is they laid off an entire technology unit. I think in that case it was more than 500 workers over a period of time. And they brought in Indian-based outsourcing companies, in that case Infosys and Tata Consultancy. And those workers also were required to train their replacements. And there has now been a Labor Department investigation about that company and those proceedings to see if there were violations of either labor or visa law in that case. And the fourth situation that I mentioned was at a company called Northeast Utilities. That is not a recent case. That happened about 2 years ago. What was interesting about that case was, in that case, the Americans lost their jobs, and many of them wrote to me that they still haven't recovered from that. Some of them are still unemployed. It's very difficult for American tech workers in their 40s and 50s to find new employment at the same level where they were before. And so the Northeast Utility situation was one where you could see a little bit the aftermath when this happens.
I imagine it's pretty difficult for anybody in their 40s and 50s to find a job if they've been laid off. Is it worse for tech workers?
I think it is worse for tech workers because there's a whole kind of what I think is probably a mythology around the tech industry, that it's sort of young and innovative. And people talk about being a tech worker almost as though they were basketball players, you know, that you're in your prime in your 20s, and then after that you can't keep up with the game. When it's, I don't think, true. I'm not an expert in tech issues, but manifestly it's not true. If you want to be a tech worker, you have to be renovating your skills constantly. You're constantly learning new things. You're reaching out, you're learning new software. These are people, by and large, that have an unusual capability to train themselves. Mm-hmm. And so the age issue and the tenure, the length of time that they'd been with these companies, that was clearly came forward as the leading issue as to why they were laid off.
We're talking to New York Times national immigration correspondent Julia Preston, talking about H-1B visas and layoffs at big companies, including Disney World in Orlando. Just talking about the reaction, Senator Bill Nelson called for an inquiry into the H-1B program after your article was published earlier this month. What other reaction has there been? You talked a little bit about getting reaction from readers, but what about from Disney itself and from other companies, perhaps?
I was quite surprised by Disney's reaction to this. They really, for a long time, regarded this as a very small story. They pointed repeatedly to their job creation record, which, again, I would say no one is challenging. They obviously are a company that has created over the years many, many American jobs. There's no question about that. But so a little bit their attitude was, this is 250 jobs. Why are you focusing on this? And so Disney, I think, was a little slow to react to this story. What happened, and I think got their attention, was that the readers of the New York Times were very interested in this story. We had, I think, close to 2 million people who read the story, and we had more than 3,000 comments, which is a very large number of comments for a story that's not a breaking news story. And people were sensitive to it because it really spoke of an American company that had somehow devaluing the work of its American employees. And that spoke, I think, to a larger feeling out in the country that many middle-class Americans have, that somehow the large corporations that employ them have kind of gotten away from seeing the value of their work. And so the next story that I wrote about this came a few days later, which was I heard from a number of employees at Disney ABC Television Group, which is in New York and in Burbank, that some layoffs that had been scheduled there were canceled. And then a very good reporter at Computer World, Pat Thibodeau, wrote that story and broke that story. And then I heard from more of those workers, and so I followed up and wrote that story myself. And it was true that there had been about 35 Disney employees who were scheduled for layoffs. Some of them were already in the process of training their replacements, and the layoffs were abruptly canceled. They were advised that the layoffs were canceled. But Disney did not want to talk about that story with me at all. Mm-hmm. And they have, as far as I know, Disney is yet to even confirm that those layoffs or those cancellations of layoffs had taken place.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the H-1B visa program. Aside from the IT industry that you've been reporting on, what other industries are included and sort of benefiting from it?
Well, probably two-thirds of the workers who come to the United States under that program are in the technology world. They're computer engineers, software developers, and there are, I believe, legitimate uses for that visa. If you're hiring individuals for specific skilled situations where you've made a good faith effort to look for an American, you haven't been able to find that worker, and you are able to get a foreign worker to do that work, that seems to me to be a legitimate reason. And the tech companies have been very active trying to get an expansion of the number of H-1B visas that are available each year, because in recent years we've exhausted the supply that's set by quota within 7 days or 8 days. The annual quota is exhausted very quickly. In addition, I think there are medical people who come with H-1B visas. There is a variety of other skills people can come with H-1B visas. It isn't just in tech, but it is primarily in tech.
Mm-hmm. And do you see any changes ahead in how the H-1B visa is used, or maybe how the law is written itself, given the response you've had from this article? And do you think politicians are paying attention to this? Could we see some changes ahead?
I'm reluctant to predict what this Congress is going to do, because it has been very difficult to predict, especially on immigration issues. They've been very hard issues. Very little progress has been made by this Congress because the issue is so polarized. There are two proposals moving forward. Senator Hatch has had a proposal to championed a proposal to expand the number of visas. And on the other side, Senator Grassley, who's from Iowa, and Senator Durbin of Illinois have been pushing for legislation that would build the protections for Americans in any new legislation. And so I think it's possible that there will be a meeting of minds between the people who want more visa numbers and the people who want more protections in the visa legislation. But it's very hard to know whether actually anything will come to the floor.
Mm-hmm. You talked about some of the tech workers who you've talked to in the course of your reporting, and they've struggled to find jobs after they've been let go. What about Orlando itself? You say Orlando is a company town. What do you mean by that, and what does that mean for people who lose jobs in these fields in the tech industry here in Orlando?
Well, it was quite striking to me that initially none of the employees who had lost their jobs were willing to speak to me on the record about what had happened to them. They wanted to be quoted in the story and tell their stories to the New York Times anonymously. And this is something we don't do very often. We really resist allowing people to speak anonymously, because we feel that, you know, people should own their stories if they want to tell them. But in this case, it came clear very quickly from being in Orlando. I went down there, and these were people who were tech workers, and they had could no longer work for Disney. Disney also, in a number of cases, let their contractors in the Orlando area know that the contractor should not rehire anyone who had been recently laid off for a year after the layoff. So in a sense, these folks found themselves not only thrown out of the kingdom, but also blacklisted from the many, many contractors in the area. And so when you take Disney out of the equation in the Orlando region, for a tech worker, you're really reducing the other employers who are available and out there. And so it, from looking at it from their perspective, it really did feel like they were in a company town.
Mm-hmm. And we're at the beginning of a long and pretty frenetic already presidential election cycle. Do you see the H-1B issue becoming more of a topic of conversation politically in the year and a half ahead?
Well, one of the sponsors of the legislation to expand the number of visas is Senator Marco Rubio, your Florida senator, who's, as you know, running for president. So I'm sure that it will be a topic of discussion during his campaign when he's out on the trail. And perhaps also it will be brought up to former Governor Bush, who is also running for president, as you know. And so I do think that because of the proximity of some of these very prominent politicians to Disney, that it may continue to be a theme on the campaign trail.
I've been speaking to Julia Preston. She's the national immigration correspondent for the New York Times. She reported on layoffs in the tech sector at Disney and how H-1B visas are used. Julia Preston, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
We reached out to Disney for comment. They provided a statement saying the company does not steer their vendors to hire US workers or to seek out overseas workers. They just ask vendors to follow all applicable labor laws. And they said, quote, "There's no policy preventing outside vendors from hiring our former employees. A number of those affected by our recent IT restructuring have been hired into new roles by Disney and by our vendors. We've reached out to vendors to clarify any misinformation and encourage any vendor or former employee who has questions to contact us directly," end quote. So we called Julia Preston back to get her thoughts on this.
I heard and read emails from former Disney employees who were advised in no uncertain terms in February that Disney had implemented a policy that former employees who had been laid off in the January layoffs would not be rehired for a year after their layoff date. More recently, it does sound like Disney has at least clarified that policy, and a number of the contractors who were originally advising some of these former employees that they would not be able to hire them have gotten back to those folks again and said, we've heard differently and we've had clarification from Disney that we now can give you jobs. And so that's very good news for the people in Orlando. And it does sound like Disney did take steps to correct, either change the policy or correct a misperception, depending on whose point of view you accept.
And have you reached out to Disney to ask what's going on here?
I did. They did not send me that statement that they sent you. I wish they had. I would have published it right away in the newspaper. So any way that we can convey the information to employers and to former tech workers in Orlando is fine with me. It does sound from what I've heard from some of these former workers and from email traffic that I've seen that Disney has corrected this situation and that they are encouraging their contractors to hire some of these people who were not able to find employment previously.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. Up next, I'll talk with the CEO of a small Central Florida tech company. Intersection continues after a break. Welcome back to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. The US government issues 65,000 H-1B visas under a general category each year and 20,000 H-1B visas for workers with advanced degrees. Christoph Schmidt moved to the United States from France in 2005. Now he's the CEO of Eonion Technology, a direct marketing software company based in Altamont Springs. In a post on Forward US, that's the website for the immigration reform lobby group backed by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, Schmidt wrote that for his company, finding talented web developers sometimes is like looking for a needle in a haystack. Christoph, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So you're in an industry which, in Central Florida at least, is growing. The tech industry, there's a lot of promise here. But you've expressed some concerns about the way you have to go about trying to get talent. Just tell me what that's like.
Well, yes. I mean, Orlando and the surrounding area is not Silicon Valley. So a lot of developers, leave to California after they graduate. And so, yeah, it's already very hard to find good developers around Orlando. Mm-hmm. But add to that, I mean, you need to be appealing regarding the other companies that are in the local area that compete to have those people working for them. And yes, I mean, coming from France originally, I knew a lot of talent in France that have a hard time to find a job and that have a very, very high level and high skill in development, and it's possible to make them come here.
If you want to hire somebody for your company and you want to bring them from France or from India or from somewhere else, how do you do that?
Well, it's basically impossible, except if the person have like a master or a PhD in something or have exceptional talent, which is the route that we took for one of the founders of the company that was French like me. We end up applying for an O-1 visa for exceptional talent, and we succeed, but it took like almost 1 year. It's basically impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the lottery. You know, there is a quota every year for the H-1B, and this quota is fulfilled the same day that they open the application.
And you have to have deep pockets if you want to get an immigration lawyer on your side?
Yes. I mean, it's all a question of money. It's not a question of talent and necessity for this person to be here in order to create more jobs in the USA. It's really about how much you can pay your lawyer.
So what do you want to see happen? What kind of reforms do you think could be made to make this process easier for people in startup companies or even bigger firms?
Well, it's funny you ask me that because when I originally did a post on FWD, I was trying to think of a solution. What I was proposing in my post, it's a simple rule, is that if a company is created in USA and is able to hire 5 people, they should have the right to hire 1 people outside of USA with a very straightforward process mm-hmm. to bring them here. And it's very easy to implement and it's very easy to understand. Even a congressman can understand it because the 5 employees that you have that are U.S. citizens, you can control that by the tax that you are paying on their salary to the state and to the government. That should be something that could be implemented to help startups to grow and bring the people with skills that they need to go in USA and not somewhere else.
What about the argument, though, from some people who say there are loopholes, and whether it's the H-1B visa or the L-1 visa, and some companies are using those loopholes to displace American workers?
Yeah, I mean, it's known when you look at the subject on a regular basis that companies are going to hire a big company, an army of lawyers, and apply in different states at the same time. So, yes, I mean, when the law is not well done, everybody starts to use a loophole, and that's what they do. But again, as a small company that tried to be innovative compared to the huge companies that are already on the market, it's like David against Goliath. Mm-hmm. You know, you fight against companies that have much more money than you and can hire more efficiently. So it's become really difficult.
And what are your thoughts about where this debate will go? Are you hopeful that there will be some kind of immigration reform that will help companies like yours?
Well, I think it will come, ultimately. I think USA is going in the right direction about a lot of things right now. And I think at some point there will be a complete shortage of skilled employee, especially in the tech industry. And we see currently, to my opinion, a flow out of the USA. You know, people from India, for example, go to school here, get a master's degree, and finally go back to India with everything they have learned in USA, create a successful company in their country. And there is a lot of people that do that. There is a lot more story every day of people who came, grab the knowledge here, and go back in their country and become successful. And it's up to the USA to keep them here. What a shame to train people at MIT and other great school, and after that to let them go.
Christoph Schmidt is the CEO of Eonion Technology in Altamont Springs. Christoph, thank you very much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
Julia Preston's New York Times article prompted calls from U.S. Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat, for an investigation into the H-1B visa program. The issue of loopholes in visa law is not new. In 2003, Congressman John Micah, a Winter Park Republican, introduced a bill aimed at closing some visa loopholes. I asked Congressman Micah whether this is a partisan issue.
Absolutely not, and I share his concern, and I've been in the process of trying to launch an investigation on the House side as to exactly what's going on.
Is this something that was on your radar before the New York Times article was published?
Well, some years ago we had some problems with workers being displaced, and I thought that there were adequate protections in place to prohibit the replacement of American workers with people with these visas. And it appears that either has been changed or it's not being enforced, or maybe we need to go back and make certain that this doesn't happen.
This isn't the first time it's happened, though. I mean, you mentioned some issues a few years ago, and you actually introduced legislation more than 10 years ago to rein in the L-1 visa after complaints about insourcing. What happened to that effort?
Well, again, I think some of that was brought under control. I haven't heard complaints of late. I was concerned, as you pointed out, some years ago, and you get folks in attention either by legislation or passing rules that prohibit those kinds of actions. Now, if this is reoccurring, I will join bipartisan, whatever it takes, effort to stop it, to ensure that American positions are protected. And again, I have no problem with bringing in highly skilled individuals, as long as those positions do not have an American counterpart, and certainly not to replace anyone who would have to train a foreign worker and then take their position and displace them. That's outrageous.
Congressman John Micah, thank you very much for your time.
Great to be with you.
The conversation continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from Florida Hospital and from our listeners. Intersection's producer is Brendan Byrne. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.